Good morning. Good morning. So, if you've been with us for the last three or so weeks, you'll know that we've been working our way through our values as a church. So we've been looking at these in terms of the acronym of GRACE, which is the first letter. If you're looking at those values, you'll see that it spells the word GRACE. We've already covered growing, reaching, and being authentic last week. But being authentic didn't end last week. We continue to be authentic, hopefully. This morning, we're going to be looking at the letter C, which stands for community and creative, or perhaps you could say being a creative community. The two things I hope to show really overlap as we look at the scriptures and we understand what it is that God is doing through his creation and our existence along with him and with one another. So as we do that, we're going to go to the book of beginnings, Genesis, and what better way to talk about God being creative than starting here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then as you go on to read in Genesis, it just gives you this incredible layout of the way that God went about doing that, the way that he formed something out of nothing, how his spirit hovered over the deep, over the void, and brought about life, bringing, separating out light from darkness, and from land to sea, and just all this incredible activity of God creating, which he spoke into being, which is the most extraordinary thought, the power of his words to make something that didn't previously exist come into existence. So that's the story of God's creativity that we get in Genesis. And by that, we can understand the first words tell us that God himself is creative. And so as we bear that in mind and go to Genesis, when we read, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. By reading this, we now understand that we're talking about God, but we're talking about God in the sense of more than one person. When we read things like, let us, and in our image. So in a Christian understanding of that, we would say that God is triune, that the Godhead is made of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And so in this language, we get a sense of the presence of God as community now, of God being a community that creates mankind, that humankind makes a community because God is making something in his likeness. God is community, and so God is creating community in male and female, populating the earth with that community. And we are made in God's likeness. This has got a huge, huge ramifications. This is such a glorious thing that God would choose to make each one of us in his likeness. And that's not just for us here as believers, but that is for every single person on this earth. Every person on this earth has intrinsic value because they are made in God's image. That is something that can be marred but cannot necessarily be lost. So in the sense of in this present life. So I think it changes our perspective on how we see ourselves and how we see others around us. I know I've had interesting conversations around this with some people where you really get the feeling that they are somehow unable to conscience the thought that someone else is an image bearer because they're focused on the type of person that person has become. But their origin still stands, that we are made to be in God's likeness, and we carry that. We're to be his image bearers. We're to be the ones who, if you like, reflect his glory into the world around us. That's why he's placed us here, is that we would fill the earth with his glory. So we can either choose to do that, or we can be on our own way and not reflecting God himself. So we are all God's image bearers, and that's an important thing to bear in mind. We are community because he is community. We are to view one another as fellow image bearers and able to glorify God. But as we know, as we get out of the first couple of chapters of Genesis, things start to go a bit pear-shaped, and we decide that we're not really that interested in bearing his image and glorifying his name in the earth. And so we start making some other choices. And by the time we reach chapter 11 in Genesis, we have this situation occur. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves." Can you see the shift now? It's not about making a name for God, glorifying and reflecting him in the earth and giving him glory. It's now, we want to raise ourselves up in our own estimation. This is a painting by Pieter Bruegel, who was a 15th century Flemish artist, and it's how he depicted it from his 15th century Flemish understanding of buildings. But really, the original buildings in the after the flood, civilizations re-established themselves and grew, and particularly in the area of Mesopotamia, you have these structures which are called ziggurats, and they are a kind of a stacked building with them. It's sort of portrayed there, but not quite. So it's interesting how when in our creativity and the availability of the technology at the time, what we would choose to do with that. And I think that goes right into our present day. You know, what we choose to do with technology in terms of creativity or destruction. You know, we have now weapons of mass destruction, but at the time they took their technology and they used it to really just make a name for themselves. And this is why so many rock bands fall apart, isn't it? You know, you get these contending egos in a rock band where they can't coexist, they can't have any sense of creative community to the point that they disintegrate because they're contending. They want to make a name for themselves, one ego exerting itself over another. But there is such a beauty in being able to collaborate with one another in community because of all the creativity that can flow from that. And that's God's intention for us, that we're made in his likeness, that we are community, he is creative, we are too creative because we are made in his likeness. But we need to get back to bearing his likeness and not being about making a name for ourselves. Life is not a cosmic accident, as we read in Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth with a purpose. He made humankind for a purpose, to reflect his glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so as we do that, I'd like to just go through, it's a fairly long quote, but it helps us to see our creativity and the possibility that we have for creative endeavor. And it's from David Taylor in his book, Glimpses of a New Creation. And he puts things this way, which I rather like. He says, "Because creation is neither an accident nor a divine necessity, but instead the absolute gift of a gracious God, human beings get to make something of it all. They do not only have to. In such a grace-saturated universe, there is an invitation, not just an obligation. Humans have to make clothes for protection against the elements, but they get to make cassocks and bonnets and paisley ties. His language, as we go on, you'll see where he's coming from. He's probably an older gentleman like myself. And he says they have to build shelters, but they get to build chapels and cathedrals. I mean, we're sitting in something right now. Just more recently, I walked into a place of worship, an auditorium of a more contemporary nature, and I was just struck by the darkness and the absence of something that I think I've become habituated by coming here. I think it really does affect us. Architecture does do something in terms of worship in us. When I look at these large Gothic arch windows, I look at the height of the building, it's all leading upwards, isn't it? It's that sort of movement towards God. Now, of course, you know, pictures of God in heaven and so forth, but that is the intention. So anyway, as we carry on with the quote, human beings have to give glory to God because their life depends on it, but they get to do so with a wealth of artistic goods. Pipe organs and balalaikas. Yeah, who's played one of those recently? Syncopated jazz and resplendent cantatas. I don't know what those are, do you know? I think I do. Whimsical sonnets and somber chants. In God's creation and through the wonder of an 88-key piano, for instance, there is the possibility of, and that's why I've written the numbers up there, it's a bit like Elon Musk's CEO role at Tesla and what he's expecting to be paid. 309 48, no, I won't go through it. Anyway, it's a large number of possibilities for chord voicings, an excess of possibilities. In God's creation, there is more than human beings need or deserve or could ever make use of in one lifetime or in several. That's the expansive and gracious and generous nature of God in whose likeness we're made. So what does that mean about us in terms of our own generosity and our own sense of possibility when it comes to living as community and living as people who are endeavouring to be creative within that community? It means that we don't just look at it through the arts and through the aesthetic appreciation society. We look at it in terms of some of the things that we might do in the world that make a difference, where we might, in terms of shelters, where it talked about shelters, then we think about housing those without homes. When we think about clothing, it's not just the design. It's like, well, there are those who don't have clothes. Jesus, at the Last Judgment, tends to assess just how creative we've been in those terms, about who we tended to when they were sick or who we visited when they're in prison. So it's also a social creativity. It's not just an aesthetic thing. But, you know, we might even think, well, in terms of housing, rather than, well, here you are, this is really, you know, this is about all we can give you. It's basic. And, well, what about actually make it, you know, what we would want to be in, what we would, or not even that, considering what they might want to be in. I know I've had some experience in that area where I presumed what someone needed, went ahead and helped in that matter, and it turned out that wasn't exactly what fitted with them. So it's just considering others before ourselves. I like this quote from Brian Zand in Beauty Will Save the World. He says also that God is more like a canter who chants his creation into existence and rejoices everlastingly over its beautiful harmony. His song continues, and it does, and its melody moves and inspires humankind to restore beauty and harmony to a creation that has fallen and misshapen. It's all about now, post-fall, restoration of all things. That is what God's plan is, and that is what he wants for us, that we would participate with him creatively and as community in the restoration of all things. And that is what he does through Jesus Christ. By sending his own son in his own likeness, we see this. As we go to Colossians, we read about Jesus. He is the image. Notice the language. It's again this image bearing. The image of the invisible God. That's what ancient practitioners of their religions did. They would make an idol, as it were, but they would put it in their temples as a representation of what they may not see. But here we have the living God making himself present in human form through Jesus Christ, so that we might see the invisible God living amongst us, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Again, this is just reflecting the creation story, isn't it? And God's wanting to bring and restore that back to its original plan and intent. And we see this in the beginning of John's Gospel also, where he talks about that Jesus as being that creative presence on the earth. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him, and to reconcile to himself all things, that reconciling act of Christ, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Absolutely, Jesus died for our sins, but it's more than that. You know, we can make the cross so one-dimensional. The intention was always that it would be to restore relationship, to restore community. It's taking something again that was so ugly, the crucifixion and the torture of that, and bringing something very beautiful out of that, that there would be redemption and reconciliation, not between just us and God, but, you know, on that vertical axis, but also on the horizontal axis, that we would be able to enjoy community with one another. So I want to just leave things there and then invite Kate to come up and share also. If she would do that, that'd be wonderful.
Thank you. I love the idea that we being made in the image of God means that we have this God gene of creativity. Each one of us bears it, but of course it's expressed in different ways. As we look through the Bible, we can see God's creativity, obviously in creation. You know, I mean, and creation, as we stand out in it, we see the glory and the majesty of God. We see the wonder in it, whether it's in the mountains and just majesty of that, or whether it's when you look at a passion flower. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. They'll be coming into bloom soon. The intricacy of those flowers and the beauty of them. How creative is that? And we talk about the things seen and the things unseen. I mean, there's so much that we don't see. Do you like those nature programs when, you know, they go down into, you know, get the magnifying glass out or the whatever it is, and you get to see what's going on, say, within our bodies, and what a miracle and what a mystery our bodies are, how creative God is. And I think it's fantastic. But there's in creation, you know, the design, the colours, the incredible diversity. But then when we sort of move through the Bible to a little bit, the design of the ark, I mean, how incredible is that? You know, it had to be so incredibly specific to be able to hold and host the number of animals and the number of people for over a year. So God created the world out of joy and out of delight, but the ark was designed out of necessity because there was a problem. There was going to be a flood. So what was going to happen? They needed an ark to be built. What was an ark? What did it look like? God had to give that his creativity in problem solving to carry the animals and the people. We also see, you know, the temple and the architect that's expressed throughout the Bible. Again, the specificness, what each piece represented and how it was brought about and how not necessarily were there people at the time who knew what to do, but then the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were gifted to do, to create this beautiful place with all the beautiful items that were there. And as Guy said before, that were necessary to draw people close to God, to the beauty and the holiness of God. It was necessary. Again, the people had to work in unity together to build the temple for the glory of God. Then we go on through to the Psalms, David's Psalms. Again, another form of creativity where he was writing and pouring out his heart. And he had to work alongside the musicians to be able to bring them to song, to bring them to the people, so that the people could join their hearts with these words. And it continues on down through the generations to us today so that we can join our hearts and our lives with what's going on, with what has gone on in other people's lives through the songs and through the Psalms. The lamenting, the joy, the celebration, the hope, the crying out to God, and all these incredible incredible ways, these incredible psalms. And then we have Jesus' parables, another form of Jesus' creativity to teach complex truths. How many parables do we remember because of how they meet us where we're at? They're in these complex spiritual truths are being explained in kind of simple ways and ways that we can understand and that settle not just in our mind but in our hearts and within our beings, and we understand. How amazing that God would take these truths and bring them down to where we are at, drawing us closer to God, which is incredible. We're all made in the likeness of God, in the image of God. So the gift of creativity by the grace of God to the glory of God for the good of one another, it lives within us. Now, I was going through a list of ways of being creative that are expressed in our church. Now, I apologize if I have missed some off here. But again, like Guy said, you know, creativity isn't just in the arts. It comes in many other ways, in business, in strategies, in problem solving. People who are entrepreneurs, people who find a need, and how are we going to meet that need? They step out, they become entrepreneurs. We've got builders, people who build and create things. We've got woodworkers who do the finer work. And then, of course, we need people then to restore things that are broken. They are incredibly talented and just as creative. We've got people who love to garden, and we've got people who love to create beautiful things with the flowers that come from the garden, and those who bake, who are gifted with baking and with cooking, more than just, you know, what usually gets done in our house and if I'm cooking. Then there's prose and poetry, the gift of that to the church is incredible. We've got music, people who write music. We've got musicians, those who play musical instruments, those who sing, those who dance, artists. I think when we first wrote down this creative value in our church, we were primarily looking at the number of people who were artistic, who could paint, or who could draw incredibly well. But you can see it's so much more than just being artistic and painting. We have photographers. We have people who can sew, people who can craft, people who can do drama, people who have great design, people who do pottery, people who teach, people who counsel, and people who nurture. This is all part of the God-given gene of creativity. And it rests within us, within this church, and I bet that there are some more here that I have not noticed or highlighted yet. But our creativity comes, and it can grow out of our love and worship for God. and an awareness of the talent that we might have, but it also comes out of necessity. Yeah, we have to be creative when we come across, we know what we need to do, but how do we do it? We might have done it this way many times before, but it's not effective anymore. How might we do it? God, show us a way. And so when we're looking at our other core values, growing, reaching, being authentic, being creative, community, equipping and empowering, we can seek to use our creative gene, to use creativity in how we might grow and how we might encourage others to grow, how we might reach beyond these four walls to share with others the good news of Jesus in creative ways that will meet people where they are at, not changing the truth of the gospel by any means at all, but how might it be that we can meet with people where they are at right now, being authentic. Don't want to be too creative in being authentic, we just want to be authentic. Being community, how can we best be a community? I mean, we can organize gatherings and we can organize all sorts of things, but how best might it be that we be community and what might that really look like? And equipping and empowering. Well, all that we do is done, yes, with our own gifts and talents, because each of one of them has it within us. But when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit, then God can do amazing and remarkable things in and through us. So I believe, as Guy has said, right, and you know, right from the beginning of the Bible, and I apologize for the incorrect references there, that it's in within each one of us. And I wonder if you're sitting here going, yep, look, I know exactly what my creative gift is, what it is that God has given me. Or you might be sitting here going, nope, I've got absolutely no idea. Or something doesn't highlight up to you. Or if I go back to these ones here, there might be something there that resonates with you, or there might not be. And then, of course, there are things, well, what do I do with it? What? How do I bring it? What happens? And I love this verse in Romans 12, verse 1, and it's from the Message translation. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that's what I want us to do before we come to communion, is to take a moment. Because it's all very well to have a list of things up here, and it might be all very well kind of talking about being creative and that it's within us and it's a God-given thing. But then it's also another thing to say, what is my part? What is my part of being part of this creative community? And how might I bring it? And again, you might say, I bring everything. Everything's on the table. There's nothing more for me to bring. And that is fantastic if that is what you have done. And we are so incredibly blessed and grateful for that. And if that's the case, then in the time of coming before God, then I encourage you just to say, again, I give it to you, Lord, for your glory. But if you're sitting there thinking, what is it within me? What is that creative gene that is within me? And how might you want me to bring it in a way that is going to be God-honoring, not about me? We bring it with humility. We give it fully. We give it to the glory of God and for the good of others. So as we come to the end of this part of the service, feel free to have a look at those things up there, those lists of ways of being creative. And I want you to consider two other ways that you, if it's not up there, other ways that you might say, yep, I'm creative as well. God has given me this. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray over that. So if you'd close your eyes with me. As we read about you, Father, as we read about the amazing things that you have done, how you have gifted people down through the ages with incredible creativity, we know that you love us, and we know that you desire for us to flourish and to grow in all the things that you have given us and all the things that you have blessed us. Not only so that we would live life to the full, but so that you would be glorified, so that others would be blessed, that others would come to see you and know you in all your glory. So, Father, for those this morning who are sitting here and thinking, I don't have a creative bone in my body, I pray that you would speak truth to that and that you would highlight within them what it is that you have that bears your image. And I pray for an unfolding revelation of what that is. And I pray for those this morning who know what their gift and what their creative gift and what their talent might be, yet may not have actually brought it into the light, or who have, because of whatever past experience they may have had when it's been squashed down, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we would bring it before you once more as an offering. That, Holy Spirit, you'd continue to illuminate our hearts, you'd illuminate our minds, and you'd encourage us to step into the flow of what it is that you're calling us into. And Heavenly Father, I pray for those this morning who bring all that they have, absolutely every part of their life, and have placed it before you as an offering. We thank you for all that you have given. We continue to pray that you would check our hearts and our minds and our motives. Lord God, that what we bring to the table is for your glory, is for the good of one another, for the good of our community, and for the world around us. And I pray release of your creativity over us, Lord God, as individuals and as a community. Outside these four walls, into our homes and into our families and into our workplaces, Father, I pray that your creativity would flow through us. Pray especially for those who are in business. Pray that you'd give them the strategies and the answers in their workplaces that they need. Give them wisdom, we pray. We pray for those who work with their hands, that you would continue to cover and protect, and that you would bless the work of their hands. And Lord, for those who come alongside, who nurture others, who counsel others, who teach along the way, Father God, I pray your blessing upon them as well, as they see others through your eyes. Father God, to you be the glory. To you be the glory, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So now we're going to come to communion. And we're going to try something a little creative.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debts. deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever.